We begin the current daf Masech the Baba Basa daf Kuf Lamed. Begin on the top line of the Yamit, where the Gemara begins with a new Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak of Yeshneichlin regarding the laws of inheritance, specifically on the heels of the previous Mishnah discussing when an individual says regarding his inheritance before he passes away, what should happen with his inheritance. So the Mishnah begins. Ha'imir, if someone says, Ish Pleini Yerushaini, I want that person to inherit me, even if it's his brother, B'makim Shiesh, even if it's in a situation where this one who is commanding that before he dies, even if there's a bas, even though there's a daughter. In other words, although generally when there's a daughter that a brother of the deceased does not inherit, first the children come, but this person is saying, even though I have a daughter, I want my brother to inherit me. Or, Biti Tirsheni, I want my daughter to inherit me. B'makim Shiesh Ben, even though there's a son, when there's a son, the daughter inherits nothing. So that says the Tana Kama. So the individual has not said anything because he would be uprooting the biblical halacha of inheritance. Shehisna Masha Katsabatar, he has stipulated in contradiction to what the Torah law is. You can't, the person's brother cannot inherit when there's a daughter, and the daughter cannot inherit when there's a son. Now the Gemara actually will make an inference that it sounds like only if another who has no rights in the inheritance in this situation, like a brother in regards to a daughter or a daughter to a son, that's when loy amaklum. But the inference would sound like, but if you have what's called ben habanim, if he chooses one son out of all his other sons, who is right now fit to inherit on some level, then it would sound like the Tanakam would hold that, then he would inherit the whole inheritance. Now, based on that inference, then it would come out that the seifa of our Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah, would not be like the Reisha of this Mishnah, which is the previous Mishnah of Kav Chavav Mabez, where there the Tana of the Mishnah taught, when you're Ribal Echad or Mir Le'echad, that if you're giving one son more and another son less, that if you said it in the terms of the vernacular of Yerusha, Loi Makom, you haven't said anything, which that's the case of Ben Abanim, you're choosing one son over the other ones, and even so, the Reisha over there teaches that Loi Kani, he's not going to acquire, whereas our Mishnah from the Tana, seemingly the same Tana Kama, holds that you are going to acquire. It's only Achar Ben Abanim, someone else, like a brother or a daughter when there's a son is not going to, but it sounds like that Ben Abanim, you would be able to, the Gemara is going to resolve that contradiction. Now, Rabbi Yechim Mereko Eimer, which the Gemara is going to also address, how is he different than the Tana Kama? He says, "Im Amar al Misha Ro Liyarshay." If he says regarding someone that's fit to inherit him, which initially the Gemara assumes that means to say that it's a fit for him to inherit him on some level already when he passed away, which means say if he's choosing one son out of all the other sons, therefore in that case, says Rabbi Yechim Mereko, "Devar of Kayamin." Then his words will have validity if he says that he wants this child to inherit everything. But if he chooses someone that's not fit to inherit him, meaning, for example, let's say he chooses his brother over his daughter, or his daughter when there's a son, then ain't dvar v'kayam, and then his word is not going to be valid. So now the Gemara asks, Taima, it sounds like the reason of the Tana Kama is, the reason why your words are not going to be valid is because it's masna mash kasabatera. You're stipulating a contradiction to the Torah law. Why? Because you're bequeathing the achar b'mokim bas. You're trying to have someone else, let's say his brother, to take the inheritance when he has a daughter. Ubas b'mokim ben. Or to give it to a daughter when there is a son, which at this point in time, this other person has no inheritance rights whatsoever. Because when there's a son, no one else has inheritance. So that's where, sounds like Tana Kama says, oh, that's when your words have no validity. Haben ben abanim, but if you choose one son over the other sons, ubas ben abanis, or one daughter over the other daughters, dvar of kayam, then it sounds like, then his words would have validity, he could do that. That asks the Gemara, but Ema Seva, that's a Tana Kama, look at the end of the Mishnah. He says, oh, it comes to say different than the Tana Kama. He says, Im Amra Misha Roli Yarsha, if he says regarding someone that's fit to inherit him, dvar of kayam, then his words are valid. So that asks the Gemara, well, Hainu Taina Kama. Well, then that's exactly the same thing as what the first Tana said, where it's Mashma, that whoever is fit for him to inherit right now, which that's what Yechim Rek is told about the case of Ben Abanim, or Bas Ben Abanim when there's no son, that's exactly what the Tana Kama said. Because the Tana Kama said it's only a problem when you choose someone else who's not fit to inherit anything at this point. So then the Gemara continues, and Vechitem, and if you're going to say no, Rabbi Yechanan does dispute the Tana Kama. Because Rabbi Yechim ben Bereka, afila achar b'mokim bas, he was saying his halacha even regarding a different individual, let's say a brother or someone else, when there's a daughter, ubas b'mokim ben ka'amar, or to try to pick a daughter over a son, that where he was saying halacha, that it would be valid. In other words, because Rabbi Yechiel Breuker understood from the Tanakhama's opinion that he considers it to be masna mash kasba Torah, stipulating against the Torah law, even if you choose one son amongst the other sons, one daughter amongst the other daughters. Because what we call the Reisha of our Mishnah, there's these two Mishnayas, our Mishnah is called the Sefer, and the Reisha, meaning is the previous Mishnah, Kaf Chavav Mebeiz, the Mishnah, the Tanakhama there taught, in the case of Ribul Achad and Mil Achad, you have many sons. You choose to give one son more than the other sons. The Tanakhama said over there that if you say it in the term of Yerusha Loya Makom, you haven't said anything. For sure, in the situation when it's what's called Achar B'Mokom Bas, when it's someone else who has no rights, even on some level right now, then, which is the case of our Mishnah, which it says, Ish Pleni Yerushani, some other person should inherit me when there's a daughter, there is what's called Vizu Ve'ein Tzarech Loya Mezu Ketani. Then for sure, if in that case he holds not going to be valid, when it's even one of the sons, if you're using the terminology of Yerusha, for sure it's not going to work with someone else not even fit on the partial Yerusha right now, for sure. Now, so then why then are we teaching this safe over here, if we know for sure from the first Mishnah that it's not going to work when you have a random person, is coming to teach that even what's called Acher B'Mokom Bas, and that's what the Gemara is entertaining now, that even when you have a different person, when there's a daughter, Rabbi Yechanan is coming to dispute the Pinnit on the comment to say that Dvar of Kayam, and that they would be valid. Now, so that would be the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Now, the Reisha, meaning the previous Mishnah, would also be telling us a Chiddush, that even by Ben Abanim, even if you're choosing one son amongst the other sons, the Rabbanan dispute Rabbi Yechanan, and they say that his words are not going to be valid. So it comes out that the Reisha, meaning the first Mishnah, is coming to teach us the Kaycha of the opinion of the Rabbanan, that even by Ben Abanim, they say that Loya Maklum, and the Sefer, meaning our Mishnah, is coming to teach us the Kaycha, the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan Breker, that even by Acher, by Mokum Bas, he disputes the Rabban, and he says that Dvar V'Kayamen, at his opinion, that what he says is going to be valid. But again, not like the Gemara had entertained to say, to make the inference, as we said, that, the Tanakhama is only saying by Acher B'Mokom Bas. But it sounds like by Ben Abanim that he would agree Dvar V'Kayamen. And I would say, no, that's not the case. The truth is, they hold the same thing as by Ben Abanim, like we see in the previous Mishnah, that Loy Maklum. It's only being said over here because of the opinion of Rabbi Yechiel Breker, where Rabbi Yechiel Breker is coming to say that if you say regarding someone that it's fit at some point to have the inheritance, even though not right now, because it's a daughter alive, but he has some rights, which if the daughter died, he would inherit it, then Dvar V'Kayamen, even now that there's a daughter alive, this Acher, the person who's dying, could go ahead and bequeath it to that person, even though right now at this point he's not fit to inherit him. But again, if he's not fit to inherit at all, even after the death of the daughter, for example, like his uncle, and he has brothers, where then the brothers come before his father's brothers, which is his uncle, then explains Rashbam that even he would agree, B'Yechim Rekha, that Loya Makomi didn't say anything, because since he's not fit to inherit him until his daughter dies, and his brother dies, then it wouldn't work. But, says the Gemara, maybe it's not a difficulty. Maybe the Tanakhama is disagreeing with B'Yechim Rekha. Because actually they say the halacha not only by Acher B'Mokom Bas, but even by Bas B'Mokom Bas, or Ben B'Mokom Ben. And so why are we saying the halacha over here by Acher B'Mokom Bas is coming to say the opinion of Rabbi Yechiel Breker. Because he says it even by Acher B'Mokom Bas, the Dvar V'Kayam, and that it is valid because it's still someone in the arena of Yerusha, and therefore it's not in direct contradiction to the laws of inheritance. But on that, as the Gemara Bat Batanya learned the Braitha, that you can't say what we're trying to entertain to say. Because the Braitha says as follows. Rabbi Shmuel, who's Benoy Shabbi Yechid Ben Bereka Omer, the son of Yechid Ben Bereka, Rabbi Shmuel, said as follows, Loi Nechleku Abba V'Racham, my father and the sages did not disagree, which that's the Machlokes in our Mishnah, Al Acher B'Mokom Bas, U'Bas B'Mokom Ben. They did not disagree that if someone that's not right now has a slice of the inheritance, he might have at some point, but not right now, that Shaloya Maklum, no one disagrees, even my father, that if he's choosing that other person, it's not going to be valid. Aman Nechleku, regarding what did they disagree? Al Ben Ben Abanim, Ubas Ben Abanas, regarding choosing one of the children that right now is fit to give them everything, Sha'aba Oimer Yirish. That's what my father said, that the father could choose and then that child will inherit everything. Chacham Oim La Yirish, and Chacham said he will not inherit. So that's their Machlekes, which is only by Ben Ben Mokum Ben and Bas Ben Mokum Bas. So therefore, back to the question. So now how do we understand the halacha of our Mishnah, where seemingly the Tanakhama and Rechim and Berikah are saying the same thing? Because you can't say that he was saying it even by Acher B'Mokom Bas, because we see his son said clearly that his father didn't say it in that case. So the Gemara says two answers. Ibai Seimah, if you want, you could say, mid the Ka'amar, from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel, meaning the son of Birchim Brika, that he said, Loi Nechluku, that he came specifically in a Brisa to say that his father did not disagree in the case of Acher B'Mokam Bas. So Machlal, the inference is that, however, the colleagues of Rabbi Shmuel, that they disagreed with him, that they held the Tanakama, meaning that the first town of Rabbi Shmuel, Savar Nechluku, held that no, that they do disagree. And that is, our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, and they explain the machlekes of the Tanakama in our Mishnah in Birchim and Bereka, even by Acher B'Mokam Bas. And then we could explain the Mishnah like we just explained the Gemara's, as the Gemara was attempting to answer, that it would be valid. And that is, Rabbi Yechim and Bereka would hold it even by Acher B'Mokam Bas, and the Tanakam would only hold it by would not even hold it even by Ben B'Mokam Ben and Bas B'Mokam Bas, like the previous Mishnah, Kav Chavav. Now, and although we say it over here that they only say it's not valid by Acher B'Mokam Bas, it's not to make the dig, but Bas B'Mokam Bas would work. It's only because of Rabbi Yechim and Bereka's opinion. That's one approach. Ibai Seim, if you want, you could say that actually no one disputes Rabbi Shmuel's qualification. Rather, everyone agrees that their machlekes was not by Acher B'Mokam Bas. Because you're right, like Rabbi Shmuel said, in that situation, everyone would agree loy omaklum. Rather, their whole machlekes was only by Ben Abanim, by choosing one son out of the other sons. That's where you have machlekes Rabbanan and Rabbi Yechim B'Reka. And this Rabbi Yechim B'Reka said that if he says regarding someone that's a role of Yerusha Dvarv Kayamin, was by Ben Abanim. Because he's right now fit to inherit. Now, then we have the question, if that's the case, or Bichem Rikah, Hainu Tanakama, he's saying the same thing as the Tanakama of a Mishnah, and that says the Gemara, you could answer that no, actually, Kule, our whole Mishnah, meaning this whole, what we call the Sefer, which is our whole Mishnah, is old Rabbi Yechim and Bereka. It's only Rabbi Yechim and Bereka. Because he heard from the Tanakama, meaning from the previous Mishnah, who said that Reba Lechad and Meet Lechad, if you choose to give one son more than the other sons, the previous Tana said that if you say it in the terminology of Yerusha, Loyim Aklum, which that's the case of Ben Abanim. That was what Rabbi Yechim Rikah was coming to disagree and say that no, in that case of Ben Abanim, that child will inherit everything. The Chasur Mechzer, now words missing in the Mishnah, and this is the way it's supposed to say. It's all one Tana. Ha'imer, if someone says, Ish pleini Yerushaini b'mokim sheish bas, which so far that's exactly as our Mishnah reads. Someone says that let that other person, what we call an acher, inherit when there is a daughter. Then, or let's say, biti tirsheni b'mokim shesh ben. He says, let my daughter inherit even though I have a son. Then, loyim akulam, everyone agrees he has not said anything. The words that are missing are as follows. Habas ben abanus uben ben abanim. But if, let's say, he chooses to give to a daughter instead of all the other daughters, or a son instead of the other sons, then imam yirish kol nechasev. Then if he says, "Let that child inherit all of my properties," that's where devar v'kayam. That's where his words are going to be valid. Shir biyichinu aimer, because Rabbi Yechanan says, "If amra misha rol yirshav." If someone says regarding someone that's fit to inherit, meaning right now, like ben ben abanim or bas ben abanas, that's where he holds devar v'kayam, and that his words are going to be valid. But you're right regarding someone that's not fit to inherit right now. For example, let's say he says that person, that random person, should inherit although I have a daughter, or let my daughter inherit even though I have a son. Then Rabbi Yechim and Breaker would agree that loy maklum, like his son Rabbi Shmuel had qualified, then it's not going to be valid according to everyone. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Yechim and Breaker, Halacha follows like Rabbi Yechim and Breaker, meaning as the interpretation, which sounds like as one would take for granted the unspecified interpretation of our Mishnah, which is by Ben Habanim, as we had made the inference before, which is that our whole Mishnah is only Rabbi Yechim and Bereka, and moreover, one can make this inference from the fact that Shmuel did not say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yechim and Bereka, even by Acher B'Mokam Bas, or Bas B'Mokam Ben, one could assume that it means to say only by Ben Habanim and Bas Ben Habanis. Now the reason for Rabbi Yechim and Bereka, the Gemara is going to shortly explain, is from B'Yem Hanchila Es Banav, which sounds like also that it's choosing one son out of the many other sons. But Rashbam just points out that that's only if there's no firstborn. Then he could go ahead and bequeath all his estate to one of them. But if there is a firstborn, then he cannot bequeath that one's portion to one of the brothers, as the Gemara is going to learn from Lo Yuchal Levakeh. You cannot switch the firstborn's double portion to any of the other brothers. Chenim Rava Sotu Rava says, Halacha k'rbichim reka, halacha falz k'rbichim ben bereka. Now, Amar Rava says, my time in Rabbi Yechim Rikah, what's the reason Rabbi Yechim Rikah that the father could choose to give to one of the brothers, Echad, what, Ribal Echad, Mit La Echad, you could go ahead and give to one of the sons more than the other sons. So that says the Gemara, because Amakur, the pasuk says in Devarim, says V'haya b'yoyim hanchilas banim, that will be on the day that he'll bequeath to his sons. That's what the pasuk says. Esa sheyilei, what he has, he can go ahead and give that. Now, it could have said b'yoyim sheyinchulu banim, on the day that his sons inherit. What is it saying that when the day that the father will bequeath to the sons? Says the Gemara, Torah not l'rishus la'av l'hanchil chol meishe yirtzeh. The Torah is giving the rights to the father to bequeath to whoever he wants to from his sons. If he wants to increase to that son more than the other brothers, he can go ahead and even give him everything. Now, according to the first approach that the Gemara had originally, that Rabbi Yechim and Barik was disagreeing even by Acher b'makom bas, that he could bequeath it even to a brother when there's a daughter, or a daughter when there's a son, says Rashbam, you could also say that he would, that and that version will learn enough from this pasuk too, and then you would say that the term banav is lav davka, rather means any yairish, even someone that's only fit to yarshin would still be called the yairish. Which the Bach says that's a little contrived. Rather, he says no. The term in the pasuk v'ha'ibrahim and chila is banav. Banav means specifically the sons. But from the fact that it says es banav, es is always a ribui, so that would come to include someone that's at least ro liyarshay. But you're right, someone that's not fit to yarshin at all, where then you don't have any ribui for, then that would not work. But that first version of Yechim Rek would hold that if it's a brother b'makom abas or bas b'makom aben, that would be included too from this pasuk. Now, on that, as the Gemara, Amalei Abayas, Abayas said to Ravo, but Malayucha Levakar Nafka, what are you learning? Why do you need to learn out from this part of the Pasuk of V'hoi Barim Menchila Es Banav? But you can learn this out from the words in that Pasuk of Layucha Levakar, which the words sound like that the firstborn's rights, that you can't deviate and switch it from the firstborn and bequeath it to anyone else. But it sounds like, but the other part of the estate that is not part of the firstborn portion, that then you could bequeath and switch it to any one of the sons. So why do you need to learn this out from the word V'ha Yibrei Mechil Esbanav? In other words, why do you need two different ideas that seem to be saying the same idea in that same pasuk? So the Gemara, Homi Bayle, look at the Tanya, no, that we need for, well, as we learned in the following b'risa. Abachan and Amma Meshum Reb Eliezer, as we continue to Tavid Beis, Matam Eloyma, what does the pasuk teach us when it says L'yuchel Levaker, that you can't go ahead and switch the firstborn's rights to anyone else? And the understanding of the question is because the pasuk already says after that, Habachor ben Asnua Yaker, that you have to give it to the firstborn. So what is it adding on by saying Layuch Levaker? Says the Braisa, Lefisha Nema, because it says in the pasuk, V'hoye b'yem en chiles banav, because it says that it's going to be on the day when he bequeaths to his sons, which sounds like that he could give to any one of his sons whatever he wants to. Now, therefore, Shayachal, you would think to go ahead and, from logic, say that the same thing would apply to the firstborn's rights, that you could remove that also from the firstborn and give it to one of the any other brothers, whatever he wants to bequeath, v'alei dinu. And it's logical to say that, because Uma Pashad, if regarding a regular brother, Shayupa Kaicha, which has a very strong strength in regard to inheritance. Why? Shanaito Baro Kibamuchsig. A regular brother takes part of the inheritance of his father. Even not only something that the father was in possession of when he died, even something that's fit to come to him, let's say an outstanding debt. Because regarding a regular brother's inheritance, it doesn't say like it says regarding the firstborn. The firstborn's rights of a double portion is only what the pasuk says, b'chala sheyimotzeloi, whatever is found to the father at the time of the death, which actually the firstborn does not get a double portion in row. So if a regular brother who has a very strong inheritance gets even in his inheritance what's called baro, not only b'muchzig, and still hatari not nirishos la'av l'handchol l'chol mishayirtz, still the Torah gave the rights to the father to switch, to take away that inheritance rights and give it to any one of the brothers that he wants to. So b'chayir shahir k'aycha is regarding the firstborn who has a weaker inheritance. She'en anaitl baro k'b'muchzig, because by him the pasuk says b'chal eshe matzaloi, he does not get a double portion in what's fit for the father to get, as his rights are in what the father was in possession. So he has a weaker inheritance. So Lord Koshkin, isn't it all the more so for sure that the father could go ahead and switch that double portion and give it to whoever he wants to? That's why the pasuk has to teach you that no, you cannot go ahead and switch that double portion to any of the other sons. But then the question goes the other way. Okay, so let only say that the father is not allowed to switch the firstborn portion, and then I wouldn't need b'yemin chiloi, which was like a bias question, because you would make the diuk already. Oh, the firstborn's portion you can't switch, but a regular brother's portions that you could switch and bequeath it to whoever you want to. So matam alem v'ha'i b'yemin chilas banav. So now, what do we learn now from the other part of the pasuk? That it's going to be on the day that the father could bequeath. Of course, I know already from the inference of that he just can't do it by the firstborn's rights. So on that says the Braisa Shayachal, because you would think, Valoy Dinu, that it's logical. Meaning, if the firstborn has a weaker strength in his inheritance, as we said, that he doesn't take a double portion of what's fit to come as he does for only what the father was in possession. And still, still the Torah says the father cannot switch his rights to bequeath it to one of the other sons. So I would think regarding a regular brother that has a very strong hold in his inheritance rights, that he even takes his portion of what's fit to come, just like he takes in what the father was possessed at the time he died. So isn't it all the more so that we would say that the father is not allowed to deviate and switch what should be rightfully his to another brother? That's what the pasuk has to teach. That is going to be on the day that the father bequeaths to his sons, which is a Torah not in the rishus la'av lahancha l'chamish yitzah. The Torah did give the right to the father to choose to give it to whoever he wants to. Therefore, that's why you need to have both psukim to teach that the bechor you cannot, and that regarding the other brothers, the father could switch. Amr Zik, Amr B'Ami, Amr B'Chanina, Amr Rebbe, like we said before. Halacha K'rbiyechim M'Breka, Halacha Fasa K'rbiyechim M'Breka. Again, the father could choose to give to one brother more than the other brothers, in contrast to the Tanakama, as we saw in the previous Mishnah. Now, Amli Rebbe Abba, but Rebbe Abba said to Rebbe Zreka, Hayra, not Halacha, but Hayra, that Rebbe taught like K'rbiyechim M'Breka. Not that he said the Halacha is like K'rbiyechim M'Breka. That's the way it was said. So that is the Gemara, but my Kamifagi, what exactly are they disagreeing? We understand that he heard the words halacha, and he heard the words hayra. But what's the difference? Anyway, you're saying that halacha is like Rabbi Yechim Bereka. So that the Gemara says, no, the difference is because Mar Savar Bereka held halacha adifa. That's why he used the words halacha, that is better. Meaning if someone paskins that the halacha is to do like this, that is tells us that for sure that's what a person should do. Because if it's only when we say Hayra, if we just say that, oh, I saw that Rebbe Paskin the Kabirchim Bereka, then you could actually say that the one who saw actually made an error. Because maybe that judgment was not because Rebbe had Paskin like Kabirchim Bereka, rather it was for different reasons and different claims that he gave the rights of all the properties to one of the many brothers. For example, not because like Yehud Rebichim Breka, maybe the father used the terminology of a gift with his terminologies of Yerusha, where there everyone holds that Dvarv Kayamin, and then it would be valid, and it would go to this one brother, but not because if he only used Yerusha, which that would only be like Rebichim Breka. And as we say this idea on Kav Chavav Med Aleph, that also this idea of Lav Beferish Itmar El Machlola Itmar, many times that things are inferred, and it were not said explicitly, for example, regarding this firstborn, that went and sold by his rights, where the one who sees thinks, oh, that it's kepaskin for a certain reason, but actually the halacha was done for a totally different reason. But if someone comes out straight out and says, this is the halacha, then there's nothing to question about. So that's why Rebbe Zreika said in the terminology of, he said halacha is like a Rebbe Zreika, which is much better, then we know for sure that that's what should be done. But Amar Savar Maisarav, what Rebbe Abba was coming to say is that actually a story, an actual practice is greater when it was actually done to do a maisa based on that. Then you can rely and do that. But if let's say the Talmud Chacham just says the halacha is like that person, then actually you cannot rely on to do that until he actually says that halacha lemaisa, that this is a halacha to practice on, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. Because if he only says that this is the halacha, you could say that through his learning, that's what he said. But if an actual incident would come to his hand, he would say, okay, wait a second, we gotta analyze this. As the Gemara says later on, in lemaiden halacha mepiat Talmud. You don't pass in halacha from through a person's learning. But when he comes out and he says, in the actual instant, he says, this is what should be done, then there's no more question. So therefore he said that Hayra is better. Now related to this idea, the Gemara brings Tanya on the following brisa. Ein lemeidin halacha, we don't learn a halacha, in other words, we don't learn to actual do in practice, loy mipi Talmud, not from the, let's say, when the teacher is actual teaching his shir, his Gemara shir, and he says, you know what, it's logical to say the reasoning of that chacham. So his students cannot learn from there that that's the halacha, because maybe if an actual incident would come to him, he would sit down with a kavod reish and analyze it, and he would see that, no, there's a different reasoning to be over here, and maybe he would not paskin like that. So therefore, he can't base it on what was said in learning, And neither could you do based on an incident. In other words, if let's say someone sees his teacher do an actual practice, he cannot paskin, he cannot go ahead and say, look, my teacher does this. I know that that's halacha, because maybe he's making an error in the reasoning of what was paskin for that incident. Because many people make a mistake from learning from an actual story. As the Gemara says, where many times, the Gemara says, "Lav beferish it." It was not said explicitly. El mechlole itmar. It was inferred, and many times the Gemara is saying that because to say that whoever saw it made an error in logic. They thought, "Oh, must be this," but it's not necessarily. When you make an assumption, it might be incorrect, so you can't learn from an actual incident either. Until they tell him that this is the halacha, this is the law for actual practice. Because if someone actually comes and asks in regards to an incident, and he doesn't know what it is, all he knows is what they tell him, so there you don't say that, oh, could be there was something else that they didn't tell you, and therefore, no. If it is that they come and you ask, say, what should I do in this situation? And they tell you, then they're telling you, Allah HaMaisa, then you know already what could be done in practice. And Rashbam points out that elsewhere in Masechtas Nida, the Gemara additionally tells us that Ein Lamin Halacha Metoch Mishnah. Neither do we learn Halacha from the Mishnayis. For example, this that it says in the Mishnah, which Halacha Kedvar, many times it says Halacha is like his words. For example, like in Masechtas Nida, the Gemara there says that Rabbi Eliezer says, Arba Noshim Dayin Shaitan. Or when we have Makasha Leilad, or regarding a Yeledis, how long should she have the flow from Ace Li Ace, or a Zav and a Zava that they had a Bedika. Where regarding those three halachas, the Mishnah is taught that halacha kedvarav, even so, the Gemara says that kalva shmu halacha kemaisa. Shmuel said, oh, the halacha is like that. What do you mean? The Mishnah already said the halacha is like that. Says Rashbam, from there we learn that you don't paskin from a Mishnah, if not that Shmuel had paskin halacha like them in the Gemara. So too in Yevamis, the Mishnah teaches Ezeu Mamzer. So Shemana Timni says, it's whatever Yechayev on it karas, and says the Mishnah halacha kedvarav. So that says Rashbam, if not for the fact that the Gemara paskin halacha kemaisa, we would not have relied on the psak of the Mishnah. But regarding halachas that are paskin by the Amiram, there says Rashbam, they would definitely rely. Because since it was paskin and written by Rav Ashi and Ravina, who they're the end of the Haira of psak, for sure we rely on them. And we can learn this that we have, this is when you have an individual arguing on the Rabbim, like in these cases of those Mishnayis, that's where we don't paskin on a psak halacha of the Mishnah, unless it's paskin like that by the Gemara. But on the psak of the Gemara, then we rely because they're all halacha lemaisa. Where, although Rabbi Yochanan later on the Gemara brings that he was stringent for himself, and he said to his students later on, they shouldn't do anything unless he explicitly tells them halacha lemaisa. Now the reason for that is because he was concerned that maybe he's going to end up changing his mind after that he paskin, and he'll see some other rationale and logic. But, like, for example, like after he passed away, for sure they should do what he had paskin to them, because all his life he did not back out. And for sure we should paskin and rely on halachas that are written in the Gemara, like Rav Ashi put together, because as the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Vav Manam says, Rav Ashi Ravina were safe ra. And who are we going to ask to rely on if we're not going to rely on the actual halachas that are paskin in the Gemara, to where Rav Ashi put it together, to say unless someone says tells you you have to halacha maisa, but a person cannot say anything more and change what the Amiram had finalized. Rather, for sure, says Rashbam, you could do like it was like the later ones had paskin, and actually so too it says in Yerushalmi that Rav Zeira says in the name of Shmuel that you don't learn from the halachas and the agadas and the Tosefta's, only from the Gemara, in other words, from the words of the Amiram, but not what is said from the stories that are written in the Mishnayos and the Braises. For example, when you have a Rabbim that's disagreeing with a Yachid, until they tell us halacha lemaisa, in other words, a dista halacha, go ahead and do this. Additionally, that if they tell you that dista halacha to go ahead and do a story, in other words, for example, if someone comes and asks the Chacham regarding an incident that came, what should be done in this situation? They say the halacha is like that person. Obviously, even though they didn't say this is lemaisa, but they're telling you regarding an actual maisa, regarding an actual incident, that is halacha lemaisa. So the Gemara says, shal va'amulai halacha lemaisa, like we just said, let's say someone asks, and they tell them that this is halacha lemaisa, so yelech v'yasa maisa, then the person could go and act on that, meaning, moreover, he could act on this all his life, and he doesn't have to come and ask a question every single time that it happens, he already asked the shayla. If I forget Mayur Datal, what should I do? And he asked the Rav, doesn't have to every time he forgets ask what's the halacha, he already knows. But a blavat shalei adama, as long as he does not start making comparisons and say, wait a second, he told me regarding that it's like that. Now this is similar like that. Oh, must be this is like that too. As long as you don't do that, that's okay. Now, but the Gemara asks on that. Mayo bavach lo yedama. What does the Gemara mean when it says in this brisa, as long as you don't start comparing? But v'kol ha'Torah kula demoy medamin le. What do you mean? The whole entire Torah is comparisons. As the Gemara in Irvin says, Chaval from Abayz, regarding Shlema, that Asbara the dummy says, let me explain to you something that's similar. Everything's similar. Nothing's exactly the exact same. We don't live in a black and white world. Everything. Yeah, I forgot Murid Atal, but when did I remember? And that was by Baruch. How do you know? Everything. You can't say you have to ask everything if you know the halacha. So Amar Ravashi says, Hachikam. Now this is what the Brice was saying. As long as in the area of fatal flaws in an animal's life, which is makes the animal not kosher, that is where you cannot go ahead and learn one thing from the other. For example, let's say you want to say, oh, I know that was considered treif by the liver, it must be the same thing by the lungs. Because actually the Gemara says elsewhere that chiluf bekav, the exact opposite is by the liver, where the limbs of an animal is not the same. The time I learned the Braisa, ein aimin betreifes zu demelezu. Regarding treifes, regarding the fatality of an animal, then we don't say comparing one thing to the other. Moreover, says the Braisa, about titman, don't wonder. Because a person could cut an animal in this place, what's called the tzimis agidim, part of the sinews, umesa, an animal will die, and therefore become a treifa that way. Because the treifa is that the animal is not vital to live. Yet you could cut the animal somewhere else, above the tzimis agidim, v'chaisa, and the animal, the flesh is going to heal with the bone over there, and there it's going to be kosher. As the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Ayin Vav Med Alf, where from Kal Vachomer we would have said that it's treifa, and actual the practice is not like that. So as long in the area of treifas, you can't compare one from the other. Now, Amalan Reb Asi Reb Yechanan says, Ki Amalan Mar Halacha Hachi. So Reb Asi asked Reb Yechanan, which we referenced this just before, that when you, the master Reb Yechanan, tell us that this is the Halacha, meaning at a time when we're learning in front of you, Navid Maisa, can we go ahead and actually practice based on what you had told us when we were learning? So Amos Rabbi Yechon said, no, Loi Tavid, you should not do, Ada Amin HaLocha L'Maisa, until I tell you that this is HaLocha for actual practice, that I tell you at the time when you're asking me through an incident, and the reason for that is because when actual Shaila comes up to a Rav, he's afraid to go ahead and just judge, and he's more focused and more intent, he has more Siyat D'Shamay, like we said before, that you can't learn HaLocha from the Gemara that they're learning, until he actually says HaLocha L'Maisa, that's only when you should go ahead and follow what I said. Amlu Rav al Rapapa ul Rafuna Bered Vishua. So Rabbi said to them, Ki asi piska de dina didili kamaicha, when a psak din of mine comes in front of you, meaning that I paskin for something I gave over to him in writing, that it should be a proof for him what I had paskin, vechazisu be pircha, and you see a flaw in the logic and what I had said, loy tikru uhu. Don't just tear up the document to void what I had said. Adasisu lekamaicha, until you come in front of me. If I have a reasoning to explain, I'll tell it to you and then you'll know that I was correct. And if not, then I'll retract, but don't just tear it up. Come and ask me. After I pass away, don't tear it up. But you shouldn't learn from it either and do exactly as I had said. As the Gemara explains, don't tear it up. Because had I been there, maybe I would give you the reasoning, I would explain to you my rationale. And moreover, maybe you yourselves will find an answer to your questions. So don't be hasty, don't tear it up, just leave it. But as you continue on top of Koflam and Aleph, but neither should you learn out from it to judge based on what I had written, only based on what your understanding is at that time. The reason for that is because the in ladain elamasha in avroyas. A judge only has based on what his eyes see. As the Gemara teaches in the Braisa Masechtas Nida at the end of the second parak, that Rebbe saw the woman's blood at nighttime. He said it's tummy. He saw in the daytime. He said it's tar. Then he waited and then he went and he said no, it's tummy. And he said, oh, woe to me, maybe I made a mistake. And the Gemara asked, maybe made a mistake? For sure he made a mistake. As we say that Chacham should not say that if it would have been moist, then it would have been tummy. In other words, what we learn from that Gemara is that it's not that he made a mistake. It's a judge only has what he sees at that moment, and that's what the halacha is based, although it could change at a different time. That doesn't mean that he made a mistake. It's based on what his understanding is at that time, and not only what you see, but also based on what his logic is at that time. He could only base on what his understanding is. And the Gemara in the first parak of Masechta Sanhedrin learns it out from a pasuk from V'imchem Dvar HaMishpat, which tells you that Imchem Bedavar and Imchem Bemishpat, meaning that the judge only has what his eyes see. And therefore he says, although I think I'm right, but I'm not going to be there to answer you because I'm going to be dead, but leave it, don't tear it up, because you might come to understand what I said. But if you don't, then don't judge based on what I said. You, the judge, you have to go ahead and paskin based on your understanding, Masha Einav Rayas.